Today we're diving into something very, very close to my heart. Radio ads and audio ads.
We may be still stuck in the traditional way of the radio ad, but I think there's a huge opportunity to tell longer stories, better stories in the different mix of mediums. We can make people feel things or be inspired. And I think that's the beauty about radio.
I listen to a lot of radio and I hear how retail the work has become.
So price and product now, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We were always selling, but we found a way before to sell in a slightly different way, in a more entertaining way, in a way that people say, kind of say, have you heard that radio ad?
You can actually create a fantastic journey for a client, and it sounds entertaining to the listener. So I think usage of the different styles or formats of radio ads, live ads as well, not only recorded, you know, you've got more creativity within the audio and radio space to deliver for clients and make it engaging for the audience.
This is Talking in Creative Circles, the official podcast of The Creative Circle, the voice of South Africa's advertising industry, in partnership with Kagiso Media Radio.
Welcome to the latest episode of Talking in Creative Circles. I am Grant Tone, Chief Creative Officer at Dopamine, and I'm your guest host for this episode. Today we're diving into something very, very close to my heart. Radio ads and audio ads, as they now call it in the streets, in the advertising streets. I remember a time when it was just radio, and now it's radio and audio ads. And I've got two fantastic guests joining me today. I've got Smooth Tone, CCO of The Odd Number. And I've got Ravi Naidu, radio veteran and program manager at Jacaranda FM. What are you up to? What's keeping you busy? Ravi, talk to me.
Brother, as you said, veteran, which is a really nice way of saying old, but thanks for that. I'll take it, right? Radio and audio is in my blood. So I think to be at Jacaranda and to be able to, you know, we're going through a bit of a refresh and a bit of a rebrand soon. Right. And I love the platform. So to work with sort of talented people and obviously to work with gents like you guys in the industry, I'm super excited, bro.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, good to have you. Good to have you, Ravi. Spusiso, talk to me. What are you up to, my man? What's in that in tray? What's in that out tray? What's some exciting stuff that's coming up out of the Odd Number sometime soon?
Listen, the in tray is too full. We're chasing our tails. I think it's client silly season. And then you mix that up with all the award shows and the judging that's happening. Makes for quite a busy life right now at The Odd Number. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the sound of that, man. Busy is always good. I love those conversations. And Luri's is coming up. And I love those conversations. Yeah, you guys busy. Yeah? You guys pitching. That's the whole weekend.
He's trying to get information from you, Spoo. He's trying to get information from you.
I know. I can see.
No, nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Everyone's going to ask him that at the Luri's anyway. Anyway, guys, let's get into it. You know, I'm excited about today's conversation. Maybe I want to start with you, Spoo. There's this boom in podcasting that's happening. And there's all these other new audio formats. And it feels like audio ads are having a bit of a renaissance. You know what I mean? It felt like they'd ebbed and now we're coming back and there's some kind of excitement about it. How are you feeling about this medium right now?
I'm loving it. I'm really loving it. I'm loving the shift. I think what we need to be doing though is catching up. I think as advertisers, you know, we may be still stuck in the traditional way of the radio ad, the 60-second ad, which have gone to now 90-second for awards. But I think there's a huge opportunity to tell longer stories, better stories in the different mix of mediums, right? I think people listening to longer formats and willingly listening to them is a great opportunity to then come in with, say, branded entertainment, for instance.
Right.
Where you're telling real beautiful stories that people actually want to listen to, that people can opt into. Because, you know, the thing with radio, in a way, in the past, you didn't necessarily have to opt into it, right? Like it just played on the radio station and you kind of had to listen to it. I think we're getting to a place now where you really want people to engage with the work. And enjoy it and play a part in it in some way, shape or form.
That's a great point. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. There was a time when listening to the radio was just, you're stuck in the car, you're going nowhere. So we've got you. You know what I mean? And now it feels like, you know, people sometimes get into the car already with a predisposition of exactly what they're going to be listening to. Ravi, I think I want to get your take on that as well. You know, what's your take on the idea that this boom in podcasting and what that's going to be doing for the medium going forward?
No, so I think there's a key word that Spoo used there, which is interactivity. Right.
That's right.
So I think over the years, I mean, listen, remember that radio is still probably the original form of social media. So it allowed people to kind of interact with the brand. Obviously, now you've got, like you said, Grant, you had radio, which you listened on FM. You've now got streaming, audio streams. You can do bespoke streams. You know, stations do bespoke streams. You've got podcasting. And I think it's super excited. So, you know, so I've been in radio for a long time. But I'm even more excited now because I think it's about how do you use the medium in the right space. I think there's one thing that still stays true in radio and audio, and that's the theater of the mind.
Yeah.
So the whole theater of the mind of how you can paint a picture using audio, and it's, you know, whether it's the presenters' voices, I think the interactivity from listeners now is what they want more, right?
Yeah.
And across the different platforms. And then using, you know, kind of audio, you know, segments, voice notes, you know, kind of music beds in that space. I think that's where I think it's become more exciting. So I think if you're sitting in the space of, you know, a client or from a content producer from a radio station or a radio show, what you have is you have so many different, I think, tools now to make it more, even more exciting.
Right.
And I think from a radio station perspective, and this is what I'm encouraging my guys to do from a show and a producer perspective, is to go, how do we understand and work with the brand a lot more closer? So, you know, Spoo, you said it, you had a really nice word for it, which was, I think, you know, branded content. How do we make branded content come alive a lot more? So I think that's exciting in terms of where we are in kind of the audio space.
That's fantastic. And then would you then say, Ravi, that is how you then change the approach to marketing with these new digital audio formats? Is there a big shift that we need to make? Or is it just a matter of just we'll adapt? You know, how do we approach this with the marketing? How do we approach marketing with these new digital audio formats?
Well, I think the trick is actually maybe understanding what's available to us, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at the multi-platform approach, right, you've got FM, you've got podcasts. You know, the fact that three of us can sit on a podcast and be able to have a conversation where we can see each other, talk to each other, engage with each other, I think that's fantastic, cool. Right? So I think where the kind of the magic happens is where we meet in the middle, right? So, you know, if brands come and say, listen, this is what my brand wants to achieve out of it, and there's a close connectedness between the brand essence, right? Whether it be the station as a first part of it, and then it's the personalities. So remember, you've got these fantastic personalities who've got this rapport with the audience. And if you can create that content that doesn't sound like we're trying to sell something to them, right? What we're trying to do is say, listen, geez, you know, here's my lifestyle as a presenter. Here's what we stand for as Jacaranda. Come into our space with a journey and let's engage with you, right? So we get insights from these people. We're able to engage them. And I think that's where the magic happens. So the more we can be part of the conversation upfront from a brand perspective as a media owner and as Jacaranda, I think the more we can drive a response and result for clients in an exciting way. You know, Spoo, you said something lovely there, which is you know, clearly Spoo's much more smarter than I am. He's got all these fantastic insights.
Keep
right?
it coming, Ravi. I love it.
You might be confused to think that he does it for a living.
Yeah, no, it's true. Hey, listen, it's true. Is about using audio, like especially with a record, like an ad, right? You know, we forget that radio ads are incredibly powerful because you can create this journey. And I think the propensity for people, or as in listeners, you know, it used to be 30-second ads. Now it's then 45, 60, 90 seconds ads, right? You can actually create a fantastic journey for a client, and it sounds entertaining to the listener. So I think usage of the different styles of formats of radio ads, even on live, you know, live ads as well, not only recorded. So I just think, you know, you've got more kind of creativity within the audio and radio space to make, to deliver for clients and make it engaging for the audience.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you, Spoo, have you seen your clients kind of change their approach to marketing because of these of the new formats?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think what you're finding now is a much better integration from a campaign point of view, where back in the day we used to almost just think about radio as here's the radio campaign, and then you go TV, here's the TV campaign. But what you're finding now is a true integration as well. It's definitely globally, the charge is being led by sort of the more global agencies. But I think from a South Africa point of view, we definitely are catching up and finding ways to use radio in an interesting way where it's not just seen as a singular medium, but it's also part of a mix, part of a, I guess, what some would call an omni-channel mix.
That makes perfect sense. And I mean, I mean, that makes me delve into the idea or the conversation of radio ads even more deeply for me. And I'll start with you in this case. You know, you've made one or two or three or four or five great radio ads in your time. But what do you think? What is it that you think that radio can do that other formats just can't? You know, what is it that you think you know is unique to radio that other formats can't? And then to add on to that, and what is then in your view the thing that truly makes a truly great radio ad?
Sure. What can radio do that other formats?
Is that a lot?
Yeah. You, there's a mouthful there. but I mean, I think it's a good question. I think, theater of the mind ultimately is what radio does the most beautifully. I think obviously radio can take you places at a considerably lower budget. You can be in New York tomorrow in a radio script, whereas TV, you're going to have to open in New York.
That's right.
I think from a theater of the mind aspect, you really can take people anywhere. Also, because you've got that power over the theater of the mind, you've also got that emotional aspect to radio, right? So you can make people laugh, you can make people cry, you can make people feel things or be inspired. And I think that's the beauty about radio. I think also what I certainly love is the showcase of creativity through writing as well. So I really appreciate when I hear a beautifully written or beautifully conceptualized radio spot that really hits the mark. You know, I think there's an intimacy to talking directly to someone on a radio station and having all your voice over working as well as your sound design. You know, it becomes such a treat for the ears, like when radio is made really beautiful. I think it's like, for me, it's the closest thing to really making a hit song. You know, I think it's kind of similar ingredients where you've got the artists in the booth and you guys can craft as much as you can to make a beautiful story come alive. What I've noticed as well is that we're not spending as much time. And I think it's also just because we generally as an industry time stuff, not spending enough time crafting radio as beautifully as we could. You know, I'm thinking about even voiceovers. You know, Grant, you used to be a prolific voiceover back in the day.
Used to be.
I'm looking for where are the new Grants. You know, where are the new voices that you can put on spots and that represent an aspect of South Africa, but also land the story really beautifully.
Yeah. I think absolutely right. I mean, I think, you know, it's, radio, like I said, is something that's very, very close to my heart. And finding myself in the booths now, it feels like it's a completely different place, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think that you speak about theater of the mind, and I'm one of those people that's loath to speak about the good old days. Because, you know, every time you say the good old days, it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But I just think that there is an element of craft that I feel like we're not spending time on as we used to before. And it is because we're time-starved. But I also do think that we're selling different types of radio ads right now. I listen to a lot of radio and I hear how retail the word has become. I put that word, the words retail, in inverted commas, because we were always selling, you know?
It's all price and product now,
Absolutely. We were always selling, but we found a way before to sell in a slightly different way, in a more entertaining way, in a way that people said, have you heard that radio ad? You know?
Yeah.
That's what makes it really great radio ad. I'll tell you, I always had a rule when I write at radio, is that I know what makes a bad ad. Is if your characters greet in the beginning, you know you're in trouble. As soon as the characters say, hi, trouble, you're fucked. Ravi, I want to get back to you about this very point, the same point. You put your hand up quite vehemently there about the fact that it has become quite kind of product and price. Have you noticed that trend? And do you feel like that has kind of changed the complexion of our work that's coming out right now?
I think what you have, and you know, Spoo coined it actually perfectly, which is we're just not spending enough time on the craft and probably sooner in the process, right? And this, I think, is it's a symptom of the industry. We're all on the treadmill and we're all running to get a pitch and to get an idea. And it's just baking the cake, I think, with the right ingredients much sooner. So what ends up happening is we're adding the ingredients right at the end, right? To use a recipe analogy. So what's happening is, you know, if you look at it, and I mentioned the price and product, but if you look at what you can put into a radio ad, I mean, you've got a mix of creativity, you've got a mix of call to action, right? Yeah. You know, you can really balance all of that together. And I think there's some great examples of these ads, but there's also, you know, the flip side where It's like we need to put a 45-second or a 60-second ad. Sure. So let's cram as much information into that ad purely because we've got to get brand. We've got to get price and product. We've got to drive maybe our digital properties in addition to that, right? Yeah. That's where it gets messy.
Yeah.
We've got to stand back and pay more attention to the craft, you know? And then to the point about voiceovers and tonality, that's where matching the brand to the right tonality, you know, when you mentioned, Grant, that's about, you know, the stereotypical thing of using a certain voice just because that's how we've done it before. If I have to apply kind of my sort of craft to, you know, what creates a great radio presenter in 2025 and for the future. Yeah. So firstly, with AI and digital, right, the relevance and I think the resonance of a local voice and local personalities is the highest. It's the trust factor. It's the fact that, you know, people want to engage one-on-one. So we talk about theater of the mind. That one-on-one on radio and audio is still very, very important.
That's right.
So paying more attention to the craft, making sure there's a huge level of creativity, making sure that we can involve maybe a call to action, but not one that's so overt that, you know, people think, okay, in my busy day, I have to go do this, do that, do that. I think that's too much. People are, you know, their emotional bank balance is quite low right now. Okay. So whatever we can make more obvious and deliberate, I think we need to do that. But at the same time, make sure that the tonality of the voices, and I say voices because sometimes we use one voice. We don't think that potentially this ad might be targeting male, female, multiple cultures, right?
Yeah.
So we don't use enough voices. Just think about it like a movie.
Yeah.
Movies have different characters. They play different parts. So why aren't we paying the same attention to radio ads? So those would be, you know, my kind of take on it.
I mean, Ravi, all the stuff you mentioned, for me, sounds like it's all the table stakes that we have, as an industry, have always known. You know what I mean? It feels like this is a refresher course and things that we always used to do well. This country has a huge legacy of making amazing radio ads. We've won Grand Prix and all that stuff of radio. It feels like these are the things that we've always known how to do. Spoon, do you think that we still have that? Do you think that we still have the legacy, we still hold on to that legacy of being the country that can make that type of work? Do you think we still have it within us to make the type of work? With these table stakes, these meat and potatoes, as abundant as we say they are.
I definitely do, Grant. I think I was just thinking now, this whole craft thing is actually key, because if I think about coming up in the industry, I was actually taught, deliberately taught. So I'd be in studio, I'd know where to look for voices and what kind of voices to look for and direct them. We were talking the other day with someone saying, you know, these days I read a radio script and there's no SFX. It's like we're deciding on the sound effects at the studio. And I'm like,
at the studio.
We used to go piano up and under.
SFX. Saxophone. Saxophone up and under.
You know, beds chirping beautifully in the background. But, you know, so all of that, and again, it's probably, we are talking table stakes and we're talking basics, really.
Yeah.
I think once you've got those basics, great. Like once you've got them down pat, which is just the thinking that you've done before you get in, even into the studio. And also just the craft of writing, you know, like I just think sometimes we get away with writing a first draft and that's the one. You know, and that's the one we go into studio with.
Is that a time thing as well, Spoo? Do you think that's a client timing thing as well?
I think it's a care thing for the most part. Okay, I mean, I think there's been many times where we've presented, say, a script to a client and they approve it. They really like it. But we go back and we go, nah, it's not the one. It's not hitting the spot yet. And we're very happy to just go back to the client and say, nah, we didn't really like that the way it was telling the story. Mm. We love the idea, but here's how we've progressed it or evolved it. You know, so the concept of constantly evolving something so you can get better and closer to the target is also important, you know? I think you shouldn't be afraid of being in studio and switching up a few words or changing something up or disagreeing.
Or cutting a line. Cutting an entire paragraph.
Well, that's part of the problem is then you've written a 90-seconder and you've only got 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And now you're just chopping brutally and the story doesn't actually connect. So I think the whole conversation, at least what we're having now, what we're hitting on, is really around the basics. The basics of making radio.
While you're in that nostalgic mood, when you think back, is there a radio campaign that you wish, damn it, I wish I was a part of that. Damn it, I wish I'd written that. Or damn it, I wish I was in the studio when that was being recorded.
Damn, everything Dave Kruger and Mulifitulo wrote, I wish I had done.
There was an era.
Yeah, from Sad Man for KFC. What else did they do? Which was fantastic. Lucozade.
Lucozade was insane.
Which was crazy.
Yeah.
Epic.
Yeah.
It cuts both ways, Boob, from a creative industry and a media owner radio side, right? Because I think that's where the flexibility. So you spoke about, like, if we have to go back to the craft and the 101 about creating great radio ads, and we're all talking about bringing it a lot earlier, right? So engaging with the radio brands and the media owners earlier in the process, right? Yeah. Because that's where I think the flexibility from a media owner can be a little bit more. We can be a bit more open-minded. We can be more open-minded, right? Listen, I'm a programmer. I'm a content programmer, right?
Yeah.
And I've come through where, you know, ads were, 30, has to be 30 seconds, has to be 40 seconds, has to be whatever it is. I'm just going, why do we have those rules, you know, back in 2025 when if you got a great story, let it breathe? And I think this is where, like, for example, and to come back to your question, Grant, which is like, you know, the chicken licking ads that were of recent done like 90 seconds, right?
Yes,
and I remember the commercial team coming to me and going, you know, can you approve a 90-second ad? And I'm going, why not? Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Why not? Right? Because it just means that just because radio said that we have to have 30 or 45 seconds or 60 seconds, whatever it is, why not? So I think firstly, the flexibility and the agility of also the radio industry needs to be re-looked at, right? Yeah. And this is me coming from, you know, being a programmer for over 30 years, right?
You are saying everything Sue and I love to hear.
No, absolutely, right? Because I think it's content. And I think if we can create more engaging branded content, that makes my listener's journey a lot more, I think, better. But, you know, just take some examples and Spoo, to blow a bit of smoke up your butt here, which is the game stuff I loved, right? The game stuff that the Odd Number did, which was great. For me, the chicken licking stuff, which they produced, which was obviously Joe Public there, I love that. I'm a big fan of the pineapple stuff. That I know also pointed at the Lurie's. And, you know, similar thing there is they took the conventional ad and said, let's switch it up, right?
Yeah.
And I know it depends on who you talk to because, you know, there's also always a degree of subjectivity in this. And some people were annoyed by it at the start, but it created talkability. Then they followed it up with, the second batch around it. For me, what is really important and coming from, I think, a radio brand and from a media owner perspective is that I think we need to be more open-minded to the creative process as well, okay? Yeah. So I think going back to the craft and the 101 is really important, but I think that's where also the radio stations and the media houses need to be more open-minded to go, okay, well, how do we place this? How do we place this for better effectiveness for the client and also create a better user journey for kind of listeners, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think you make some really great points there, Ravi. And I think you know, Ravi speaks about your game work, which I'm a huge fan of. Shout out Napo as well, the voice artist for most of that stuff from Jump. But I think, you know, you guys, the Odd Number has kind of been synonymous with this type of work. You know, the type of work that kind of makes people stand up and listen. You know, it feels like it has specific South African-ness to it. Even though we can spend time trying to figure out what we mean by South African-ness of things. But, you know, there's the stuff that your work always feels like it's got a certain flavor to it. Is there a flavor? Is there an Odd Number formula? Is there an Odd Number flavor? Is there a place at the Odd Number kitchen that you go to get a spoonful of something and put it...
Yeah, tell me as well, because I'd like some of that.
You know, and what is in that spoonful that you put in the adverts that you could say make an Odd Number advert?
Sure, no, there's no kitchen. There's no kitchen to go to.
There's no kitchen.
But there's a recipe, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a difficult one. I think since we started, for me, radio's always been an emotive medium. Regardless, right? So either I'm laughing or I'm feeling something, but you know, my dipstick or constant dipstick is how does it make me feel? Me personally, you know, which is quite a selfish thing to do, I know, but am I genuinely laughing at the thing? Am I genuinely finding it entertaining? You know, that's the first dipstick. You know, I often say to my writers that they'll come in and having written a script that's a comedy script and they're reading it to me, but they're not laughing. And I'm like, but if you're not finding it funny, what makes think someone else is going to find it funny? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So the first audience is the writer.
Yeah, that's you, the first audience.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because they've got to sell it, right? They've got to sell the story. You're right.
You've got to sell the story. So you've got to just be loving it yourself, right? So it's just the passion for the storytelling, and also not wanting to do anything we've done before, like as a thing, as a rule. So, you know, if we've done a long monologue that does a certain thing, it's kind of going, yeah, but we did that, you know, so let's not do that. Yeah. Or a certain cadence of voice or style, you know, it's always sort of trying to do things, or the challenge of trying to do things somewhat differently, or working with an insight that's really, really fresh that I've never seen on radio. And I think that's always the thing. Yeah. It's like, have I heard it? No, if I haven't heard it, then something's there. You know what I mean? I was going to say to Ravi now, do you think we can win a Lurie with a live read? Because I think it's challenges like that really excite me, right?
I love that. And that's a challenge, Spoo. I'd love to, I mean, you know, Grant and Spoo to work, because I think live reads also have become very price and product and 100%. Talking at rather than to, right? And who says that live reads can't have audio part, I mean, as in effects and all that's of right. that stuff, right? I'd love that, because for me, like if I hear a live read and it almost sounds like the presenters are going through the motions because that's what they have to do, because that's what the script says. But I want to be able to give them a little bit more creativity and a bit 100%. Of room to say it's a performance. I would actually stop calling it a live read, by the way. And in fact, my take up, because sometimes it's, you know, we got to give things a new name to breathe a bit of new energy into it, right? Yeah. So, you know, a radio ad is called a generic when it lands into the space, right, of media. Yeah. And what does a generic says? It's the substitute I get when I go to a pharmacy to get the generic medicine, right?
Yeah,
right. Which is wrong. Like, I mean, can we give the radio ad a fresh new name so it inspires writers and producers to create something? Can we give it a new name for live reads and, you know, power spots? Because it's all terminology that we've used for years and decades. And if we give it up a new coat of paint, and to your point, Spoo, is like, I think that's a fantastic challenge. And it's a challenge that I think the radio industry is to say, why do live reads have to be done in the same way that we've been doing it before? Spoo, I actually had a question to you on when you were talking about the kitchen. And it was like, you know, how much of it, and I think to a certain degree you've answered it, but I mean, in the world of where we're sitting now with, you know, a lot of data and AI and insights and, you know, clients have a lot of insights that they share with us. But, you know, how much of it is gut feel, because I think we've missed that gut feel and that kind of burning, you know, inside your tummy where you know that this is going to work, right? And are we brave enough to be sitting there recording an ad and going, it's not going to work, let's pull it and let's start again? Like, I mean, are we brave enough to kind of have that courage to pull it, or we feel are we under pressure to kind of do it because it has to be done?
To be honest with you, we are still brave enough to pull it. I think we had that recently at the agency. The only thing is, are you up for the costs? Because if you're
there's always
pull
the C
it,
word,
you're
eh?
Gonna, you're gonna have to put skin in the game. You're gonna pay for it.
Yeah. No, not pay for it.
But I think it pays off in the long run, because you start setting a standard where, you know, you start approaching these things differently, where you're not always in for a large cost afterwards, but you are. And I think the team appreciates it as well. I think the agency appreciates it as well, as if you can come in and actually not like something, you know. So oftentimes it feels as though, you know, the creative confidence might be low from the perspective of, okay, you've done the ad, you're not really feeling it, but you can't speak up and say, actually, I want to give it another go. You know, and I think when you do pull something, and when you do say, let's give it another bash, it really, really validates, I guess, the feeling that maybe everyone in the room had, you know, and it goes a long way in building even the trust amongst the creative team themselves for you as a leader.
I think that's such an important point, Spoo. I think even more than just internally, but I think what it does for the client relationship as well, I think is a really big thing. In that you're not just in the business of selling work to them. You're actually making work that's effective, and you actually want the work to actually make sense. I feel like that's a whole other different episode that we can chat about for an entire hour going forward. About just the idea of how partnering with the client to the extent where you can kind of go, you know what? you know what? I know what we agreed on, but I actually think that we agreed on the wrong thing, and I actually want to start again. You know what I mean?
100%.
There's a big form of trust that comes with that.
There is, and I just wanted to go back to, for a second, we were saying price points, price and product.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and our thing was, you know, when we won game, we were like, well, you know, it's not going to be your traditional above the line ideas that are going to cut it here. This is a retail brand, right? And our whole thing was lean into the magenta, which is lean into the pink, lean into the price points, lean into the fact that you're selling Ryobi Leaf Blower, and then build the case around that. So don't run away from it. You can actually make, and we were so happy to win. I remember, I think it was our second year with game. We were so happy to win like a gold lorry with ads that had a product and price.
And I love that. And that's what stuck out for me. But Spoo, that's what stuck out for me, because you managed to get that creativity and the fact that you still had a job to do for the category, which is retail, right?
100%.
And that for me was probably the formula that I saw that you got right with game.
Yeah. That's beautiful. No, I love that. I mean, because at the end of the day, we are still selling stuff. You know what I mean? And it's very easy to forget that, because we do the opposite. We lean into the art and become self-obsessed in the art. So, Suzo, are you then saying, beyond coming up to you with a portfolio full of live reads that can win us, what is it that you think, young creators listening in now should take from this? And what advice do you think they should heed from this conversation and take into the industry with them going forward?
As long as they are winning live reads, if these are beautiful live reads, we can have a conversation. I think for me, Grant, I think obviously, you know, young creatives have a plethora of information. It's still morning, Grant. The English is here.
The English bundle is full at the moment.
Yeah, English bundle is full. A plethora of platforms that just feeding them content left, right, and center, right? I mean, from YouTube to TikTok to all the rest. And I think often what happens is that becomes your major influence when you're creating in some ways. Sometimes... You know, you're trying too hard to stay on a trend or borrow a trend from somewhere, where sometimes it's also these platforms being switched off and you living a little bit of life and bringing your lived experience to the table. You know, I think there's so many things to be said about experiencing things, being a sponge to the world, closing the laptop and going out and seeing things and seeing what's happening in the world, or listening to people where you can really start drawing some unique insights and views that are not necessarily mass market shared at the time. So I think there's a bit of that. And I also think there's a hunger that I almost want to bring back in the industry. And it's the hunger to really, really, really create something beautiful, right? Like, you know, not to relax on your first draft or that things just pass, but like really, really sit on top of things. You know, there needs to be that hunger that we bring back into the work as well. It's a little bit of a, like a divine discontent, you know, and you know it, And then it's also just messing with the system, right? So that's anything that feels traditional, how do you upend that? You know, and it's again, back to the Ravi challenge, which was focus on the live read, change that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the idea of changing the status quo, challenging the status quo. You know, take what people are saying is this is the way we do things, and how do you make gold out of that?
Yeah.
How do you flip that and turn that into gold? I think that's really, really great. I mean, you mentioned something that I've always carried with me, still carried with me now. I think my parents would not be proud when they find out what I'm about to say. But I think it's the idea of eavesdropping as an idea of actually listening to people and actually getting characters. I've always done it ever since I started out. When you listen to the radio and you hear that many, how many characters all sound the same, and I just started eavesdropping on people's conversations. And you listen to, you get nuanced things that people do. People do little stutters, people do little things, and that's where the characters come from. Yeah. And I think that that's the lived experience. You go out there and you listen to the way people speak. You live with people as opposed to listening to, you know, perfected AI, and you actually get the way people speak.
And I think what it talks to Grant and Spoo is perspectives, right?
Yeah.
Because once we get perspectives, that gives us the opportunity to shape, you know, the audio and radio and these kind of ads to talk to people that has that resonance around it, right? And I think for me, Spoo, I know you talk about live reads, right? But I mean, I'd love to maybe just get your perspective on this, which is, what about 15-second ads? I know we spoke about long form ads, which is kind of 60 and 90, where we can let something breathe, right? But, you know, I'd love your take on it, because this is where, if I come back from a, let's call a listener perspective and a radio perspective, right? Where I think clients can use radio a lot better is to tell the story over a longer journey, but maybe shorter snippets, right? So if I take vignettes, right? Yep. So let's say you take a 3-hour show or an hour, for example, what ends up happening is we create an ad for 60 or 90 seconds. It gets placed in an ad break and it's once off, and you might hear it, you know, maybe in a different time channel. But what about using 15-second ads that are shorter, sharper, that might be spread out over an hour or a show, that tells a journey and gets listeners to kind of feel a little bit more of an integrated approach? What's your thoughts on the shorter, sharper radio ad?
I love it. I mean, I even 5 seconds. I think the closer the media buyers and planners are closer to us as creatives, the better we can do that. You know, I mean, speaking to you now, it's obvious that we can literally do anything. But I think what's often presented to the client is what's been done, which is the 30, which is the 45, which is the 60. Those are usually the options. But if in the brainstorm and when we're thinking about stuff, sometimes an idea works where it's just short little bites. Short, sharp bites. And I think, it's just bringing, Ravi, it's, I know we're time starved and we're kind of moving quite quickly. But this idea of constantly questioning why we're doing things the way we're doing them. In other words, why is it a 30 second? Why is it not a 20? Why is it not a 50? Why is it not a 90? Why is it not 2 minutes, actually? You know, like the idea of questioning really needs to start in the creative studio. And then obviously the relationship with media goes a long way in how do we plan, how do you buy, you know, how does it affect frequency and all those sort of KPIs that they're chasing as well.
Speaking of time stuff, gentlemen, I really am sorry, but we really are out of time now. But we can have this conversation for
just when
like
we're just when we're getting to enjoy getting ourselves. There was a lovely warm up here.
We're getting warm here.
Hey, these guys can run their mouth. I love that. No, but I really, really do. I think we've chatted about some really, really great stuff here, and I think this is definitely one of those conversations we could have for a very long time. I think all our passions for radio and audio just they seep through the microphones here, and I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. In parting, I'll start with you, Rav. What are your final thoughts on the audio ads and on the category and on what's possible after this conversation? Give me your final thoughts, quick. 60 seconds at the very most.
It's a 60 second ad. Okay, cool. Let me see if I can get it in 58. I think it's what we spoke about. Going back to some of the basics, it's having a mix of creativity, call to action, tonality, and an essence of what that ad should stand for. I think it's about placement, right? I think the placement of it, and I think it's use of the kind of what the media owner in a radio station, for example, can actually put together. So I think for me, it's all those ingredients that come together. But I think most important is the collaboration factor between, I think, the creative industry and the media owner is key to that. And I think a lot of this has to be debunked and demyth, right? Because a lot of this sits in people of, we only have to stick to the traditional way of doing things. And I think if we can do that as the first part, I think we can create some really good success for radio and audio, guys. Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah.
Thank you. Nothing wrong, Ravi. Nothing wrong. Smoozizo, 60 seconds.
Yeah, I agree with Ravi. I think Ravi made some salient points there. I think for me, it's let's break it. Like, and when I say break it, let's break what we've been doing, you know, and constantly be just trying to do something completely different. How does all the other platforms how do all the other platforms available to us connect to radio and audio? And how do you tell a bigger story? Yeah. How do you scale it? I think it's just breaking our approach creatively to kind of upend the trend that's kind of kept us in a specific area, in a space. So that's what I would say. I'd say let's break it.
I couldn't agree more with both of you. I think that there's an accountability that comes with everything that you guys are saying. That is, you know, we know what we think might need to be made better, but the onus actually lives with us. You know, it's nice to sit around and say, hey man, I'm tired of the monologue adverts, but what's your solution? You know, we are in the space where we actually are supposed to be coming up with those solutions. And I think what you guys say is really, really poignant. But wow, guys, what a beautiful hangout.
And gentlemen, I'm hoping, Liz, you're going to smash it at Lurie's this year.
Yeah.
I know it's coming up soon. And please invite me to the after party. I'm only interested in the after party. The Lurie's after party is epic. So please invite me.
Nothing wrong, Ravi. Bring your dancing shoes.
Okay.
But thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. And yeah, that's it from us for today, guys. Big, huge thank you to my guests, Susiso and Ravi. Goodbye, as they're doing the kids' TV shows. Goodbye. And yeah, see you next time. Thank you, everybody.
Sharp grunt.
Cheers, guys. Take it easy.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That was good fun, man. Thank you so much, guys.
Talking Creative Circles is available wherever you get your podcasts.